Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
All right, greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with Donnie Hoover, John Orlando, and our special guest, Tom. What's your last name, Tom?
Williams.
Tom Williams with War Wrestling. I wasn't prepared for that. Tom, how are you tonight?
I'm actually fantastic, actually. I just got done eating dinner with the wife and tried to figure out the modern technology here, and we're all good to go.
Hey, can I just ask real quick, is it still okay to call you Big Tom? Because let's just be honest, you know how it is in the biz. You get stuck with a name, you're stuck with it.
Oh, yeah, it's like being called Shithead Jones. I mean, it don't matter. You know? That's your name. I mean,
I still call him Tom, Big Tom. Yeah.
Well, here's the crazy thing about it is you know, John and Donnie know somebody, Sean Lyle, Peachy Rodriguez.
Yep.
I'm the one that gave him that name. Here it is, really? 10 years later, he's still Peachy Rodriguez. Yep. You know, it just comes with the territory. You know,
I mean, it's one and of then when things. When you see something like, you're like, Sean Lott, who the, oh, yeah, Peachy, okay, yeah.
yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, and like it's the same way with me, I'll always be, you know, Big Tom. But the funny thing about that is I can kind of give you a little bit of a backstory. We did a show with Buff Bagwell, I don't know, it's been 10, 12 years ago, and he came in for us, and we had a gentleman that I managed named Dexter Dementia. Well, his name is Tom, too. Well, he introduced himself as Little Tom. Now, Little Tom is like 350. And Buff Bagwell says, who in the hell is calling you Little Tom? They all said, you'll know when Big Tom introduces himself. So he comes around, shakes everyone's hand. I introduce myself as Big Tom. He's like, oh, now I see why you're called Little Tom. You know, so, yeah, I mean, it kind of sticks with me. You know, the boys tease me now because now they call me Schmedium. I'm in between a small and a medium. I'm Schmedium Tom. And the funny thing about that is I just did a show on July 4th with Dexter, Little Tom, and his whole family's there, and I'm getting ready to leave, you know, it's after the show. And I said, hey, by the way, I've lost like 5 more pounds, and so you'll always be Big Tom. He's like, F you prick, you know. So it is what it is, you know. I mean, but, yeah, overall, you know, I'll always be Big Tom. That's kind of like, you know, personality-wise, persona-wise, and all that sort of thing or whatever, you know. I wouldn't expect anything less out of the people in wrestling, you know. I mean, that's what I'm known as, so it's no big deal to me.
All right. Well, Tom, I know that Donnie wanted to bring you on concerning promotions and war wrestling. So let's talk a little bit about war wrestling.
Well, this will be getting ready to do our 17th year. We've done about 350 shows over that period of time. And I guess you could say I'm the owner, promoter, and the booker. I kind of wear many, many hats. We basically run shows in Northwest Ohio, do a lot of fairs and festivals and that sort of thing. We do a lot of charity work. As a company, me and the wife have actually gave back over $350,000 over the last 17 years to various organizations that we work with through ticket donations, our time. We've actually bought a semi-truckload worth of food for the Veterans Food Pantry here in town. We just did a fundraiser in Coldwater, Ohio for a young gentleman who took a bad hit playing high school football. And we went out into the community and we got enough sponsors to cover the show and all of that. And at the end of the night, we handed that family $6,100 cash money to go towards back towards his rehab. We've done another show the previous year in the same town for a little girl that had cancer. And we went out to the community and got a bunch of sponsors to pay for the show. And at that time, that family got over $8,000 in one night. You know, we kind of use the wrestling as a tool to give back. It's kind of wrestling has a bad stigma of being a carny and, you know, that sort of thing. So we kind of try to be a little bit different. You know, we kind of try to shed a lot of positive light on what we do and what we bring to the table. And, you know, in this area, we're considered a brand. You know, to where, you know, if our name's attached to it, then they know we're going to give 110% and we're going to give back to the people. And that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, it's my way of being able to give back to the community I live in and I grew up in. And a lot of the people who work for me buy into what we're doing. And I have a great group of people. And, you know, I guess I'm kind of the glue to the promotion and that sort of thing, and the voice. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what where we're at now. You know, I mean, here it is. Started out on a dare, and here it is 17 years later.
17 years is a long time. You're doing something right.
Well, you know, I mean, yes. I mean, you know, it's just I wanted to be different. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing for me. Kind of the backstory of how war started is me, Dexter Dementia, and another gentleman named Dusty Dillinger all went to a show. Actually, at the time, I was living in Columbus. And we got approached by Heartland Wrestling Association, who had a WWE / WCW developmental deal at the time. Right. And they said, hey, you guys are local. Can you guys help promote the show or whatever? Well, we went out, we did our thing, we tried to help promote it, this, that, and the other. And needless to say, it didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. They treated us like dirt. They were very, very disrespectful. They were very, very arrogant about them having a WWE deal, WCW deal. And from that day forth, we basically said that we could run in this area on our own accord. And that's where the wrestling and respect comes into play, because at the end of the day, all we had was our wrestling and our respect. And that's where war came into play. And we ran our very first show, I believe it was January 17th of 2003. And we ran it in front of 541 people. And if anybody knows anything about wrestling back then, you know, when you typically run your first show, you're happy to get 50, 75 people, 100 people. And then the next show, you're happy to get 100. And the next show, you're happy to get 125. We started out with 541 people. And I think that's where a lot of people have a misconception of me, thinking I'm cocky and arrogant and that sort of thing. But if you start out the gate 541 people, I feel that, you know, you have to have those expectations every single show that you do. And that's kind of the way we go into it when we promote the shows. We do everything we can to promote it, you know, tickets, you know, flyers, posters, Facebook, you know, pounding the pavement, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, whatever you need to do to get the people there. And that's kind of where it all started. You know, I mean, you know, Les Thatcher at that time was the main guy there. And me and him actually have become pretty good friends since then. I consider him almost like a mentor now. And but it was a blessing in disguise. You know, I mean, we took it as disrespect at that time. But, you know, here it is 17 years later. And to me, the wrestling and respect is still all I have when it comes to independent professional wrestling, at least in Ohio and beyond. So,
well, there's a lot of promotions out there, indie promotions, that don't last nearly as long as war has. So, you know, kudos to you for doing the right thing and really reaching back out to the community. I know I'm talking to Donnie and John. They've got nothing but mad respect for you, man. Donnie himself, he just can't say enough good things about you.
Well, you know, Donnie's from that old school. He's from that old guard, and he realizes that, you know, what separates the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling is how you conduct yourself and how you hold yourself to a higher standard. And, you know, I guess you could say I live by the sword, I die by the sword is, you know, when the crap rolls down the hill, it's going to stop with me. And, you know, I have expectations, you know, from the wrestlers to my staff, to everybody, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I tell people, you know, that professional wrestling on the independent scene, the indies is the bastard child of Satan. And what I mean by that is, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly is all grouped together. And it doesn't matter if I'm drawing 700 people and the next promoter is drawing four, if he doesn't, you know, conduct business the right way and treat his wrestlers good and his staff good, or even the fans good, that has a reflection onto me. And, you know, I tell people this all the time. We're only as strong as the weakest link in our chain. And what I mean by that is the weakest promotion is being judged just by us. I don't feel I'm any better than anybody else. I just feel that, you know, it's taken me a long time. I've made a lot of mistakes. And Donnie knows, you know, that if he needed me, I would be there in a heartbeat. If I could do anything and, you know, in my ability to help his promotion, I would do it. And, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, when I go to other shows nowadays, you know, I try to, you know, help. I mean, I'll help with the ring. You know, I'll do what needs to be done. Actually, I did a show a couple years ago for a group named Intense Wrestling Incorporated or whatever. It was down in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I worked for them like 18 years ago. And they had like a reunion show and they invited us back. And we went down there. We did the show and this, that, and the other. Well, I get down there, and the ring is just atrocious. I mean, the ring ropes are loose, and you know, all this stuff is wrong with this ring and all that. And, you know, I'm managing a guy that's 350 pounds, and his finish is a top rope move. I'm like, I'm not putting my guy up on that top rope, you know. So I made those guys redo that ring. You know, I showed them what needed to be done. I showed them, you know, that the ring, how to tighten the ropes. I showed them how to, you know, to get the canvas tight. I showed him all those little things or whatever, because, you know, that those fans, you know, see that ring. That's the first thing that they see is the ring. And, you know, so it takes, you know, it takes me to be a teacher. I'm going to do it. You know, and the funny thing was, is I told everybody when I was going down there that there's no way in hell I'm going to help and this and the other. I'm going to be just like everybody else. And, you know, they're loading up the ring. They're loading in the ring, then setting it up or whatever. And it's got like a twitch, you know, like, holy crap, this crap's going to look like crap, you know. And all my guys were like, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. And I was like, dude, I'm going over there and I'm going to show them what it needs to be done, this, that, and the other. Now, you know, the moral of the story was, is, you know, they got it right for the show. And hopefully, you know, they learned how to do it. You know, because here's the thing, I don't want to see any of the guys get hurt. You know, the ring ropes break, or, you know, them to break their ankle on the canvas not being tied and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's just a, you know, I guess I'm kind of the old school guard, you know, where, you know, I'm going to lead by example. And, you know, now that I'm physically able to do it, you know, I'm going to show. It's my job to teach. You know, Al Snow told me something 20 years ago. He said that, you know, you can have the best idea in the world, but if you keep it to yourself and no one ever hears it, then it's just going to fall on deaf ears. And I kind of feel the same way about the wrestling. You know, I can have the best promotion in the world. I can have the best promotion in Ohio, this, that, and the other. But if I don't lead by example and help people, then it doesn't matter how great I am, because, you know, there's somebody somewhere else is going to end up putting on out a bad show that's going to be judged. You know, so I want everybody to succeed. You know, you don't always get that in professional wrestling. I mean, Donnie knows, you know, you don't always get the, you know, everybody trying to help everybody. And, but in my case, absolutely. You know, if I'm at a show, I'll help. You know, a friend of mine ran a show up in Detroit, and his music guy bailed out on him last minute. And I got a sound system, you know, and he called me and said, hey, brother, can I help? You know, can you help me out? I'm like, what do you need? He said, I need a sound. I need sound for the show. My guy bailed out on me. I said, yeah, dude, tell me what the date it was. Cover my gas. I'll be there. I drove 2.5 hours one way just to run the sound for the guy, because he needed a dependable sound system. You know, I didn't make any money off of it. It basically paid for the gas, and that was it, you know. But that's what it's about, you know, because guess what? That show would have been judged if he didn't have a mic or some mics and sound system. And everybody at that show would have been like, holy crap, I went to this show and it sucked. Didn't have no music, didn't have no mics, didn't have this, didn't have that. You know, so we're all grouped together. You know, so yeah, you know, Donnie knows. I mean, me and Donnie's talked. John Orlando knows. You know, I mean, you know, I actually will sit here and tell you this: the leading up to the shows, I probably put in the week of the show probably between 80 and 100 hours preparing for the show.
Well, if I can ask a question, Tom, about that.
Yeah,
you know, I know that, you know, from my experience, promoters do a variety. They have a different style, so to speak. You know, I know that some promoters, not only do they promote, but they book the show. They come up with finishes. They, you know, they do other things to commentate. They have a lot on their plate. I know other promoters feel like, I'm just going to promote and book the show and delegate the other things. Why do you think that you went with the avenue of being hands-on? Because you have admittedly said you are very hands-on when it comes to a show. You know, why that way for yourself? Why not delegate some other things to some other folks?
To be totally 100% honest, because it's all my money being invested.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
Smart answer, incorrect answer. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that, you know, if I'm forking out $5,000 to run one show, then it's my time, money, and energy going into it, and I want, you know, that money back plus some, you know. And I found out over the last 22 years that, you know, if you delegate it to somebody and they don't have a financial stake in it, then if something doesn't go according to plan, then they just blow it off,
right.
You know. And in my case, you know, I do put it all on my plate, you know. There's little things that I've given up a little bit over the last, you know, couple of years or whatever. I have a couple of guys now that help me behind the scenes, you know, making sure the guys are there on time and all that or whatever. But as far as the physical, you know, setting up the shows and the angles and storylines and booking and all that, I still do that to this day. I actually still actually make my own programs for the show that we give to the fans or whatever, and I print them out and design them and all that. And it's something simple, but it's something we've done from day one. And, you know, it's no big deal to me. You know, I make sure that, you know, the little things – to me, the little things is what matters, and the fans are the ones that see the little things or whatever. You know, now that I'm, you know, going back to me being physically able to go out and do these sort of things – you know, it's even worse, you know, on me, because I, you know, we actually just did it on Saturday or at 4th of July. We did a 4th of July show, and me and my two buddies and my one buddy's 10-year-old son is the one that did all the prep for the show. And we're talking, you know, set up, tear down, music. We did it all or whatever. There was only four of us that did it. And, you know, the way I feel about that is just, you know, like I said, if I'm investing $5,000 in a show, you know, then, you know, I feel that I have a right to burden all those, you know, burden all that on my shoulders, per se.
Right. Yeah.
So, if I could chime in here real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously, I just kind of been sitting back and listening, and it gets me kind of pumped up, because this, what's going on, is exactly why I wanted to do this segment on the Wrestle Horror Podcast. The main goal here is, from my story real quick, I started wrestling first. I was a wrestler, and then I took a break away. And then when I wasn't able to come back as a wrestler, then I took up promoting. Okay. So, I mean, I had helped with booking and all that kind of stuff when I was a wrestler, but for the most part, the promoter side, I was kind of just learning as I went. So, you know, I reached out to Big Tom, and he's helped me a lot, gave me a lot of good advice. And, you know, one of the biggest takeaways that I use every show is feeding the boys and providing water and drinks. I always make sure there's food and water there every time, because it made perfect sense. And it was just something that needed to be done. So I went ahead and did that. And, but just just talking the way he's talking, this is what gets me excited and why I wanted to do the segment with promotions, because I've talked about it back in 2015 when me and Terry was getting started. I was, you know, like, there's just not a lot of information out there about being a promoter. It's like, you can find anything about being a wrestler. And then I've heard Tom say it numerous times about, you know, there's not a lot of information or promoters willing to help each other. There's not a lot of education about it out there. And, just something that he may not know, but when I'm scrolling through my phone, my Facebook, you know, I scroll pretty quick, and I ain't going to lie, a lot of stuff I just pass right by. But every time I see his name and underneath it, it says Promoter Thoughts in capital letters, I immediately stop, and I'll read every one of his posts like that, because that's the way he's trying to provide education, his opinion. Some people are going to agree with it. Some people aren't. That's the proof. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, there's not one certain way that works for a promotion. You can do promoting different ways. And, but Big Tom's, he's been a big help. He's got tons of knowledge, and I want to bring this segment to Wrestle Horror, and I want to have Big Tom come on numerous occasions. And we have other promoters come on, and we can all just kind of sit around and talk and discuss and maybe learn from each other. Maybe, you know, there's a way that I'm doing something that Tom may not have thought of, and which, you know, he's probably thought of everything at this point. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff that Tom or whoever else we're talking to is going to say. And I'm like, damn, that's pretty smart. I'm going to try that. You know, so that's the purpose of this whole thing, is from the promoter side, is there's not a lot of promoter education out there. So I wanted to try to put something together to where we can all try to learn from each other. And even if we both come up with a different way to do something, they could both be right. But then that just adds more, you know, arsenal into our tool chest, where we can, if we do something at one time, it doesn't work, we'll say, well, that side didn't work. Let me try this way. And then that way it works. So, yeah, I just wanted to step in real quick and say all that. But, yeah, I was just kind of sitting back. You know, like I said, I'm a big learner, so I'm just sitting back just listening, soaking it all in. But, yeah, so this promoter thing is, like, this is my most exciting part of all four of the segments, you know, and even the women of Wrestle Horror and all that. You know, the promoter part's going to be my most fun and exciting. But I just wanted to throw that out there and not take up a bunch of time. So,
I think one thing real quick too, that, you know, you mentioned it real quick, Donnie, and I know both of you fall into this category. I think that there's some people out there that don't realize that anyone can be a promoter, but there are those folks who go that extra yard to be legitimate. And by that meaning having your paperwork on file, having things squared away financially and whatnot, to make sure that it is run more like a business than the maybe carny backyard ways that it has been in the past. I think that that's one thing that if anybody's listening and go, I want to be a promoter, I think that both of you would agree, get all of your stuff with the state correct so that you don't have any loopholes or legal problems or anything along those lines. I think both of you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I mean, my big thing, too, about that is Donnie knows this or whatever, you know. You know, the legalities of it or whatever is the only reason professional wrestling in the state of Ohio is regulated is because they don't want to piss off the boxing and MMA people, because mm-hmm. that's where they make all their money.
Right.
You know, which, you know, it is what it is. You know, you pay your $100 show, you pay your $200 to the commission, and they leave you alone. You know, you can have conversations with Bernie and Judy, and they'll flat out tell you that they don't want anything to do with professional wrestling. You know, so, you know, I get it, you know what I mean? But, you know, one thing I wanted to go kind of comment on what Donnie said or whatever is Donnie's is 100% correct. When there is no promoting a show is on the job training. It truly, truly is. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you know, everyone acted like it was a guarded secret, and, you know, and it was the good old boy network, and it was this and that, and, you know, like you said, the Carney days and all of that. But, you know, it's easy to go to a seminar as a wrestler. It's easy to go to a seminar as a referee. It's easy to go to a seminar, you know, as any other thing in wrestling, per se, you know. But the promoter side of it is kind of a lost art. And the reason why it pretty much happens most of the time is I tell everybody it's a vicious cycle where, you know, two buddies get together, they start their own promotion, they all get together, then all of a sudden they bring in their friends and their buddies and this, that, and the other, then they have a falling out. Then he goes, one of them breaks off, goes and starts his own promotion, and then starts his own promotion. And it's a never-ending cycle, you know. So it's kind of like the blind leading from the blind. And the crazy thing about it is, you know, I go back and I told, like I said, you know, we had 541 people our first show. I can go back and look at that show, and I will honestly sit here and tell you is it was downright horrible. Horrible. Because we went with the people that we knew. We went with our buddies. We went with our friends that, you know, it's just people you hung out with, that who you was comfortable with, that would, you know, maybe work for an extra less 10 bucks or whatever than the guy that you felt was legitimate at the time or whatever. And, you know, the good thing about us is we started out drawing better crowds and this, that, and the other. And it kind of weeded out the people. It could just kind of weeded out the idiots, you know, per se. And, you know, over a period of time is when you're drawing in, like Donnie said, you know, going back to the food thing, you know, if you can only afford to pay a guy, say $50 to wrestle for you, but then he's got to spend, you know, $20 to eat and $30 on gas, then he's not making no money. But, you know, you would be amazed on how many promotions don't have water at the shows or don't have, you know, food or anything like that. And, you know, to me, you know, I tell people this all the time, and it's kind of like one of my things I tell the young guys or whatever when they go to work for a new promotion. There's two things that if you're new to the wrestling business and you walk into a new promotion for the first time, there's two things that you need to go look at or you know, observe. The first thing is the wrestling ring. If you walk in and that wrestling ring's got more duct tape on it than canvas and the ropes are sagging and the poles are bad or this, that, and the other, they don't have no pride. You know, and I hate saying it that way, but they just don't have no pride in what the product that they're putting out. The second thing I told everybody is if you go into the locker room, there's no cold water there. A case of water costs $4. So how do you think you're going to get your $50, $60 at the end of the night when he can't afford $4 for a case of water? You know, and people think I'm crazy when I say that, but it's the truth of the matter. You know, I mean, you know, my ring that I have right now, I paid over $6,000 for it. And everybody's like, oh, it's a great ring. It's a big, you know, great bumping ring. It looks good, this, that, and the other. And then I tell everybody, well, I'm getting ready to redo it. And they look at me like I'm a, you know, an idiot. And I'm like, no, because, you know, there's certain little things that I want to do to fix it, to make it easier when we set up and tear down this, that, and the other. And it's because I have a sense of pride. You know what I mean? I got a couple holes in it from a show, our anniversary show. Guess what? I went and had it professionally fixed. I went and had it professionally done from a tent and awning place. They fixed it. They stitched it. They cleaned it. You know, we do a match with blood. You know, I go spend $100 and go have it professionally cleaned. You know, it's just little things like that, you know, that I think that separate us from a lot of other people. And it's not me being cocky or arrogant in any shape or form. It's just the fact that I have a sense of pride. You know, my mentor is Al Snow. 22 years ago in this very, very town that we run shows in, he, you know, gave me an opportunity to be a part of this business. And I still feel after this, you know, 22 years later, that if I don't conduct myself in the right manner, it has reflection onto him. And that's kind of the way that I go into it, you know, doing all the shows and promoting and all of that. That's just the way that I feel about it. You know, if I'm an asshole, then, you know, it has a reflection on the Al Snow.
And Tom has so much information that we had to make it a two-parter. But since we shift between wrestling and horror, next week we're going to have Keith Newsom on the line talking about face painting and pro wrestling makeup. The following week, 2 weeks from today, we will have part two of Big Tom Williams and Wrestling Promotion. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.